Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Christian from San Diego.
My name's Christian. I'm an alcoholic. And, you know, I'm always surprised when people ask me to do anything in AA, you know. And I was nominated to be the coffee guy for this meeting tonight and asked to be 10-minute speaker. And it's just, you know, one thing after the other. And when I came in here about 11 months ago, I had a really big ego, and I thought that, you know, I should be nominated for everything. And I started going. My home group is La Mesa Men's, and I started going there when I was about, you know, about 2 weeks sober. And, you know, after about 3 weeks of going there, you know, I said to my sponsor, I was like, you know, I think I'll get a commitment here. I think this meeting's okay. And I walked up to the secretary, and he was this big, you know, tattooed guy, I was thinking, oh, maybe he'll make me like GSR or something, you know. And I was about 3 weeks sober, and I went up there. I'm like, yeah, you know, I think I'd like to get a commitment here. And he said, all right, just show up here every day at 5 o'clock and help set up chairs. And I was just resentful right off the bat, you know, because you know, I was worthy of something way higher than that, you know. And what Alcoholics Anonymous did, and what the steps did, is it beat my ego down so much to where, you know, I'm just surprised anyone wants me to do anything, you know, because I'm looking back at what I used to be and the things I used to do. I really don't deserve any of this, you know, and the things that happened in my life. You know, I had my first drunk when I was about 13, 14 years old. And I think I was a moderate drinker before I got drunk that time, because I would go to weddings and I would have sips of wine and stuff. And my dad used to give me shots of tequila when I was really little. I don't remember the craving, the phenomenon of craving kicking in. But that was this one time when I was 13 or 14, you know, it kicked in, and I was with some friends. And, you know, I felt so full of fear before that, and I was so insecure, and I always felt like the guy, you know, every time I was going to say something, everybody was going to think it was stupid, and they were going to laugh, and, you know, and I was scared to talk to women, and, you know, I was full of fear. And when that alcohol settled in my system, it was like, you know, wow, you know, just amazing. You know, I wanted to stay that way for the rest of my life. I loved it, you know, I just loved it, you know. And it was like gin or something. It was like gin or tequila. I can't remember. It was like a mixture. I stole it from my aunt, and, you know, I loved it. And I wanted to stay that way the rest of my life. And, you know, over, you know, course of events, I ended up in rehab when I was like about 15 years old. And, you know, progressed real fast with me. And, you know, got introduced to AA. The AA I got introduced to was in Minnesota. That's where I grew up, and was a lot different than out here. The meetings, they talk about, I don't know, I never even, like, knew there was a big book for a long time, you know what I mean? It's what it was like, you know. And you know, I don't know, I managed to stay sober for a long time. I ended up putting about 4.5 years together. And, you know, I don't understand how that happened until I read, you know, part in the book where it says some of us remain sober for a period of time, becoming serious alcoholics later. And in that 4 years, you know, I was, you know, just living off of, you know, self-will and ego. And, you know, I had a lot of ambition, and I had a lot of willpower, you know. And it's we can have willpower and still be powerless over alcohol, you know. And I succeeded in a lot of things, and, you know, it took me out to Arizona and to California, and I, you know, was really, like, driven to, like, succeed in the work I was doing. And I got really, really big in that. And, you know, before I was even old enough to drink, I was making all this money, and I had it going on, you know. I had arrived, you know, you know, I had an apartment by the beach, and, you know, I had a badass car, and I had a hot roommate, and, you know, and a girlfriend, and, you know, it was good. And I had a host of friends, and I sort of, like, just kind of hung out on the outskirts of AA. You know, I would go to meetings, and, you know, I'd get commitments, and, you know, like, show up to them when it was convenient for me. And, you know, I worked the program at convenience. Every once in a while, I'd get a sponsor, and he'd take me through the book, and I wouldn't listen to a word he said. And, you know, by the time he got to the ninth step, I'd fire him and, you know, do something else, you know. And it got to, you know, a point where I was like, just, I felt, you know, everything was going great in my life. I had no reason in the world not to drink again. You know, I was 20 years old, just turned 21, and, you know, I was making, you know, more money than anyone my age or anyone of my maturity level has any business making. And I just had it going on, and had a girlfriend, and, you know, and it's, you know, life was great, you know. And I drank again, you know, and I don't know what sufficient reason caused me to do it, you know, but I just didn't, you know, I heard people talk about like the physical craving and stuff, and it seemed a little exaggerated. And, you know, when I was drinking, you know, at 15 and 16, you know, I drank a lot, and I, you know, more than like, you know, the average 15, 16 year old, you know, I drank a lot, you know, like when I drank that craving kicked in, and I just didn't believe that could happen, you know what I mean? After 4.5 years and I took a sip of alcohol and nothing happened, you know. The next night I was at a hotel in West Hollywood, and I raided the mini bar and got drunk, and, you know, it was a lot of fun, you know. And the third night I was at a really big work event up in Beverly Hills at this open bar event at the Canadian Consulate, and had about 11 beers, and I started going around and drinking glasses of wine, and I made a complete fool of myself, and I ended up throwing up all over the bathroom. My boss punched me in the face, and, you know, I woke up in the hotel like, you know, just baffled and confused, and I couldn't believe this could happen to me after 4.5 years. It just didn't make sense, you know. And I stayed sober off of that humiliating experience for about a week, and then something happened, and I was in an AA meeting a week later with a firm desire not to drink again, and something happened. I can't tell you what the reason was, but I left and I went to the bar and I got drunk, and when another 2-day binge, I almost died. Came back to AA to put 4 days together, and I was doing this thing. I was doing this for about a month and a half, you know, I really started to think I was defective, like something was wrong with me. And you know, my girlfriend used to drag me to the Pathfinders meeting, you know, and she was every one night, you know, she was looking at me, and she was. And I was like all like ready to get sober and stuff, and she was all excited, and she was looking at me, and she was all excited. I was gonna get sober, and I remember looking at her like thinking, wow, I'm gonna fail her. I'm gonna drink again. It's like I know it's gonna happen, you know, and I did, you know. I ended up drinking, and you know that ended, and you know I went on for another month, and you know it got really bad. I got to the point where I almost was ready to kill myself because none of my plans were working out, and. There's a line in Bill's story where he says, you know, I who had thought so well of myself, you know, it's like after the doctor told him he was going to die or have to be shut up in an asylum, you know, and thought so well of himself and his ability to surmount obstacles, yet, you know, here he was flat on his back, and that's paraphrasing, and, you know, how he wanted to make amends to his wife, but it was just too late, and I'd already made the decision to kill myself, you know, and it's like, yeah, I think about the third step, you know, it's like we make the decision to turn our will and our life over, but then it tells me exactly the next thing to do, which is the fourth step, you know. I'd made the decision, but I was like sitting on top of this hill, you know, in Ocean Beach, and kind of weighing out the pros and cons of different ways to like kill myself, and I was just going to drive my car off the cliff, and I got to the bottom and realized that it was just going to be too complicated, and I stopped, and I had this big suicide on my note, you know, I went on for another month after that, and it was some really, really bad things happened, you know, and I was living with this girl I used to go to AA with, and we were drinking every day, and finally, a guy called me who I knew from the program. He was one of those guys who went to this Wednesday meeting, and, you know, he's this quiet guy, kind of like sitting in the background, and he had this big book with him, you know, and I thought he was kind of crazy, and, you know, and I was hopeless, you know, I had no hope, and I didn't think that it was going to work for me, but I didn't want to go on living the way I was, and I was too scared to die, and I went and I talked to him, and he started taking me through the book, and I always thought it took like 9 months to get through the steps, you know, and he showed me that it doesn't take that long, and, you know, within a few weeks I was, you know, in my fourth step, you know, doing that, and, you know, and not too long after that, you know, I had to try self-will one more time. I didn't drink, but I got really miserable again, and about 90 days I was out making amends, you know, something happened, you know, a lot of other stuff happened, but something happened, like, during that time period where something happened inside me, you know, and I felt something changing, and I can't explain it, you know, but the book just explains everything, you know what I mean? I felt useful, and I felt like I had a purpose, and I felt like I wanted to spend the rest of my life being of service to Alcoholics Anonymous and like to help other people. And that's not my thinking. That's something I could produce on my own power. And I'm so grateful, you know, that I was asked to speak tonight, and I'm so grateful that, you know, that we have this program, you know, and I would, you know, anybody who's new and you know, can identify, that's the best thing I hope I can do is, like, help identify with that hopelessness that you feel, you know. But we have a program, and it doesn't take long. You don't have to suffer for long, you know, and just get a sponsor, you know, get through the book, you know. Don't rely. Don't believe everything your sponsor says. You know what I mean? Everything is in the book. You know what I mean? Don't. It's the only thing I can really rely on. You know what I mean? I'm beyond human power. We're all screwed up. We're all unhappy, screwed up, dishonest people. You know, the book is just the only thing I can rely on, and I love reading it. And I love every time I do something it tells me to do, I get the result that it says, and I get a promise. I'm not the kind of guy you should say go as long as you want, so I'm just going to stop right there. But thank you so much for listening.